Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll save 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, we're breaking down one of the more exhilarating wins of the season for your Colorado Rockies, a 6-5 walk-off win over the San Diego Padres as they continue to be a thorn in the side of this would-be NL West contender that has now got the Cincinnati Reds hot on their heels in the wild card race in the National League. Colorado Rockies, of course, with a couple more games left to go against the San Diego Padres with pitching matchups that should favor them. So we've got an opportunity here. Of course, we know, Patrick, these home Colorado Rockies, you saw it last night. They do the thing. They make you think, all right, here's going to be a great starting pitching performance. The offense does what they do at home, getting big, inspiring home runs, and we'll get into all that. Bullpen blows it. But still, the walk-off W, it's just a different ball club at home.
And you've got to watch all nine innings because you don't know what's going to happen. There was one point in the game when it looked like the Rockies were going to pull away in a rather healthy fashion. And they were only able to get four runs in that, I think it was the fourth inning there. And it was like, okay, tacos are right around the corner. It's 5-1. You know, it's third inning. Thank you. And it just seemed like it was this inevitability. And it didn't happen, and that's okay. That's fine. And Senzatella kept the score down. He did his part. And then the inevitability of the bullpen happens. And then the inevitability of C.J. Cron hitting a homer because he hadn't done that yet. And the Rockies winning at home, which they hadn't done yet. And they have a walk-off. They're 11th of the season, now a franchise record, and they lead all of MLB in those last second ABWs. It's been exciting.
How about that, Patrick, of the things, again, that we would have predicted coming into the season? Them being terrible on the road, sure. Historically terrible, maybe we wouldn't have predicted, but yeah, the team's going to be bad on it. They're going to be better at home, sure. Really good at home, probably didn't predict that either. But they're going to be the team that leads baseball. So they're third in baseball in quality starts, and they're first in baseball in walk-off wins. What is this team?
I'm working on something that's going to propose that question. I have no answers, but I just want to look at how bipolar they can be in a sense, right? Just they're on two different poles. Like there's these extremes that they've had all season. And when we thought it was going to break somewhat and normalize, it just hasn't. I think they've played better on the road, but it hasn't translated to wins. And they played pretty much the same at home, sometimes not as good, and yet it still translated
to losses.
That's right.
Right. Totally. The analogy. Exactly.
It's been wild for this to go on this season. And I don't know if it's just If it's something that can't happen anywhere else, is it a Coors Field thing? I don't know.
I think so. I think it's the perfect combination of the environment, the extremes in the environment between home and away that have been well documented at this point. You know, we've talked about the lack of experience on the team. Then you add in the chaos of a bullpen that's been mostly pretty terrible, but every once in a while just locks it in and you win it. The Rockies have 20 blown saves on the season now, which has them in the top 10. And a lot of the other teams, though, that are in the top 10, because there's a lot, like the Dodgers are actually number two on that list. The Giants are ahead of the Rockies in terms of blown saves. But, of course, they have far more converted saves as well. They've had more save opportunities. The Rockies and the Diamondbacks are the two teams that both have an incredibly high number of blown saves and a relatively low number of recorded saves. And so when you look at all of that and you put it all together and you go, yeah, nope, that makes for a team. Like last night's game was a perfect example where the bullpen did blow the baseball game by technical definition and by everyone who watched it and feeling in your gut when that ball left the ballpark in the top of the ninth. The difference is it was the top of the ninth and the Rockies could answer in the bottom of the ninth. And the beautiful thing about baseball is the very second CJ Cron's ball crossed the wall, the ball game was over. And the Colorado Rockies bullpen did not need to make another appearance. Bat at home. Yep. There it is. There's your, there they go.
It's called a blown save, not a blown win. Which still translates to the same thing. It's just not guaranteed loss because you're home. And Carlos Estevez did fantastic. By the way, he's been very good as of late. In his last 15 games, he has a 3 ERA, 15 innings pitched, 17 strikeouts. In his last seven, even better, 1.29 ERA. Could we see a change at the closer role? We'll see. While the Innocent does ask, what's the record for most walk-offs by a single team? The record is 18 by the 1959 Pittsburgh Pirates, which they did do it also in the World Series against the Yankees. So I think that counts for that. So in more recent memory, the 97 Marlins did it 16 times. Again, some of that happened in the postseason. So the Rockies could be on their way to setting a record for teams that, you know, don't make the postseason or regular season walk-off wins. And they're still going to have, you know, a few more opportunities. They've got what looks like about six more series at home. So, you know, that's going to translate to about 18, 20 more games, 18, 20 more walk-offs.
14 more wins and 10 of them by walk-off.
The only reason why there aren't more hospital beds filled up in the Denver area with heart attack victims is because this isn't a season that is riding on any one thing.
Like, can you imagine if they were like, yeah, if there were
these
six or seven games over,
would be a lot more challenging, I think. to the hardcores. But as it were, you just take it in stride and go, hey, there's the bottom of the ninth. Hey, there's CJ Cron. And hey, there you got the recipe, as it's been a few times now already.
Yeah, that's why I do think I want a differentiation. There needs to be the blown save and the incredibly blown save, or whatever we call it, the thing. Because there's sometimes you blow the save and the other team is tied to the game, and then it's out of your control after that. And sometimes, and we saw this out of Wade Davis a lot, right? You blow the save and you didn't just let the other team tie the game. They took a 2-3-4 run lead off of you. And now your bottom of the ninth offense doesn't just need to put one on the board to win, or, you know, maybe they can go into extras. They've got to rally, and that's a much worse spot. So I've always wanted that stat. And that was another example of the difference between a blown save and a total meltdown.
A blown Wade. It sounds like what you're almost thinking about. No, that I would not want to put that on anyone. Because it's hard to differentiate between you took away the opportunity for your chance to win versus you gave the other team the win.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you can, and even if he had given up four runs and given the Padres the lead, you still didn't give them the win. You still have that opportunity. So even within that, there has to be some kind of differentiation. But, you know, Buddy even said in the post game that in that blown save, the first two hits by Cronenworth and Nola were very soft, and they were. The expected batting average on those two hits, 180 for Cronenworth, and on the Nola single was 210. It was the expected batting average. Those balls were not hit far. They just kind of eked their way in. And, yeah, the home run is to Hosmer is what's, you know, got it done. It's interesting that Hosmer went opposite field to tie the game, and Cron went opposite field as well as Connor Joe, the other CJ.
Yeah. All right.
He also was able to do that, the birthday boy. So, it's interesting how the game plays out. That's why you play the game. That's why you need 27 outs. It's just the perfect game.
Oh, it really is. Hey, Will here in the comments says he's going to be down here where I am right now at the bar for trivia night tonight. I might hang around. I'm weighing back and forth. I was down at the ballpark earlier. I'd like to see some of y'all. I've got one of these beers right here that you can get. I know Will's a member. I know all of you out there are probably members as well. But if you aren't yet, this is the size. Look at this thing. This is what a regular beer is. This is what you get when you're a member. This big old honking thing. So come down to the DNVR bar. Become a member at thednvr.com. Get your Breck Brews and your 15-can tap pack samplers at your local King Supers or, you know, liquor store, wherever you can find them. Then the bigger one here for being a member. If you subscribe for a year, we'll send you a free shirt from the DNVR locker. Don't forget to schedule your fantasy football draft down here at the DNVR bar as well. You can email GM at the DNVR bar to get that done. Appreciate you, Will, and everybody else out there for subscribing. Make sure that if you haven't yet, you get in now for all that written content, hanging out in our Discord channel for the every time Connor Joe does something. You've got to react to it in our Discord channel.
It lights up. People are getting excited about Connor Joe. Is this really a thing? It could be. It really could be a thing. This guy, he homers on anniversaries. He likes homering on anniversaries, whether he knows it's an anniversary or not. He did it 1 year of being diagnosed cancer-free. He does it on his birthday. He'll do it against teams he used to play for. He'll do it back home in California. This is really becoming a thing, and it's been really exciting. And, you know, we saw it on Sunday. He made a fielding error, and you go, ah, okay. More than made up for it on Monday night.
How about that play?
In a play that, again, Buddy said post-game, it was a backbreaker. Now, it wasn't the final out of the inning. It was the second out. But it took away a monumental opportunity for the Padres to go in, hammer out some more home runs in the middle of their lineup at the plate, and it really kind of stopped them. It slowed them down drastically, no doubt about it. And that was, you know, in a weird way, seeing everything, what ended up transpiring there in the ninth, you could say, man, that could have been – somewhat of a game changer. That was the winning play, and we almost didn't know it at the time.
Yeah. And I've had people who are probably a little bit biased because they may have played the position before, so you can maybe take some guesses at who I'm talking about here. But I have had people explain to me that left field at Coors is among the most difficult in the world to play because it is enormous. It's just a gigantic area of space. And particularly that left center field gap is very difficult to get back in there and figure out. And that's the direction that Connor Joe is going in. Somebody who's not necessarily a natural left fielder, a guy who's kind of a natural baseball player, really. And he's jumped around. And cheers to Colfax. It happens occasionally. But that was as impressed as I've been by him. And the stats actually like him defensively. And that's tracked with like, hey, he's a good athlete. He gets over. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. We saw him on the other night, like you mentioned. But that was, I think, his best play yet defensively going into the gap that somebody who's ranked in the top five in DRS in left field in Colorado Rockies history told me it's a nightmare to play, an absolute nightmare. So that he's out there year one doing it. You're like you said, it's Connor Joe, man. Could be a thing.
Very well could be. He's on a 45-degree angle because for anyone who knows, okay, that's where the ball lands is in the gap. So why was that play any different? And if you go and watch the video, a lot of times when you see a guy dive, they're just diving to their left or their right, almost a 90-degree angle, right? If you think about it, if you're drawing it up that way, and he's going back and to the left, he's on a 45-degree angle. I mean, you can probably go back and, depending on how old you are listening to this, think about Jim Edmonds, some of the interesting plays that he was able to make. Of course, somewhere, you know, he's at a, you know, 180-degree angle. He's just going over his head. But Joe's at that 45-degree slant, or even 135, not to get too mathematical on you. But it was incredibly impressive. And, you know, Senzatella really appreciated that play. Everyone in the ballpark did, because they knew what it meant at that point where you thought, man, the Padres are due to come back. They're due to get something going here. Right. You know, they've got the pressure on them, and they should be able to respond. They have enough talent to respond to these pressure-filled situations. You know, at the beginning of the season, teams get off to slow starts or bad starts. They have guys injured, whatever it is. But at some point, you've just got to get it done. And when you have a roster like they do, even with all the guys on the IL, they're going to get it done more times than not. And yet on Monday night against the Rockies, as hard as they tried, your Rockies did not allow them to do that. Came away with a big victory. Yeah.
There was an interesting, pretty long conversation in today's pregame between our guy Nick Groke over at The Athletic and Bud Black, talking about Connor Joe as kind of an atypical leadoff hitter in the way that you think of kind of like a Raimel Tapia, as a slappy, fast guy who can kind of do all of these things. But at 291 with the batting average, at 359 on base coming into today's game, the on base in particular – and the thing that maybe you do compare him most to a guy like Raimel Tapia, the roughly 13% strikeout rate that he's got going. So not striking out, taking good at-bats, taking his walks if he needs to. No, he's not going to steal a lot of bases for you. He doesn't have that kind of top speed or whatever. But in an odd way, he's starting to profile nicely as a leadoff guy, which we know he's not going to be moving forward. But the fact that he's been able to basically just step into that role just fine is another thing that makes you go, man, yeah, this guy is, as somebody put in the Discord last night right after the catch, what can't this guy do?
In my write-up that was published on Sunday about the interesting different lineups that they've had, one of the questions I was able to get a response from Buddy Black was this idea that, look, they're giving guys a lot of different opportunities, and that also means in the lineup, and they don't need to go, you know, terribly traditional. I think if you look at the lineup, with somewhat of an untrained eye, it looks typical, right? We know that lineups have changed. You know, you've got Aaron Judge at 6'7", 6'8", batting second in the lineup. You go, wait, isn't that, are you supposed to be sacrificing the runner over to second base?
Right.
Like what's the dynamic there? We know that that has changed in the last decade, but still Connor Joe, again, a corner infielder, corner outfielder. You typically don't see that in the leadoff spot, you know, catchers, even a guy like Buster Posey, there's a lot of wear and tear, you know, on those knees and on that body. And as good as his bat is, batting him fourth in the lineup, batting cleanup, that's a tall order. You almost need to save him and just slide him down a little bit. So seeing Elias Diaz do that is rare. A second baseman like Brendan Rodgers, that's an incredible rarity. So he's, you know, kind of done a lot of those things, and Connor Joe is really at that forefront saying, all right, well, you can play a little first base, you can bat leadoff. All right, let's kind of go the Anthony Rizzo route. Let's play around with that. Why not? You don't need to steal second base if you're standing on it after hitting a double. And Connor Joe is prone to do that.
Yeah, he's in there right now. He's been doing real well. On the other side of it, before we get off of the offense, a few other guys that came through nice, obviously Charlie Blackman with the two-run shot. It was a big one early on. Center field, he's had a couple of big home runs lately. He was somebody you predicted to have a big final stretch here. Trevor Story with the two-run double early on. And, of course, CJ Cronin, we've talked about, but who continues to be just extraordinary for this team, really. Draws a walk, hits the walk-off home run. It just feels like anymore. Man, you just thinking back on, like, the first 3 weeks, when he wasn't just striking out, he was striking out ugly. Looked like he never swung a bat before, and we were talking to each other like, is he done? Is he like totally done? And now it seems like I can't remember the last time he had a bat at bat.
He looked like a guy that would have signed with the Rockies on a minor league deal to play first base when there were four or five other options. Ryan McMahon, maybe the incumbent if Fuentes is going to start over at third base, which almost is what you ended up getting because Rogers was hurt, so McMahon was at second base. Greg Bird, Colorado kid, really, you know, showed some flashes there with the Yankees. That's a possibility. Connor Joe, again, a high round draft pick. And you go, all right, CJ Cron, we'll see what happens. Give him a shot. He's a veteran. Yeah. Guys like that are kicking around, so you can scoop him up. I mean, who's to say that Matt Adams isn't the same guy in this lineup? Sure. Because they both had those moments. Like you said, we're talking and kind of looking at each other like, well, a couple years ago might have been a little bit better. Oh, well. And, you know, he ends up being as good as he's been offensively. The defense has been solid. You know, I haven't looked over at him and, you know, had those same kind of looks that Daniel Murphy has had at times. Right. A couple years back, you would have remembered, right? And two, last night, don't forget, he did leg out a little infield single.
He did an infield hit, and he made a nice play. To your point, at first base, the first month I felt like he was a liability defensively, and I was starting to get frustrated with him. And since then, he's been good. And I wrote about the team defense the
great
other day.
Article for anyone who needs to go check it out. You do need to subscribe thednvr.com. Check out what Drew was able to dig into with the defensive metrics because we too oftentimes look at what are you doing on offense. Great. Hey, look at how good the pitching is. Great. Look, defense plays into how many more runs you're going to need to score offensively. How much are your pitchers getting away with, both starting and relief? So it's just one of those areas that kind of doesn't get valued enough. We're also trying to figure out how to value those things. I thought you did a really great job in that article kind of touching on all those parts.
I appreciate it. And there were a few things as I was researching it that I was – surprised to find that the Rockies did well. And that was probably the biggest one was that at first base, they've been pretty good. They're ranked second, which kind of blew my mind as a team in baseball. But CJ Cron as an individual has been kind of a top 10, not a top five, but a very, very solid defender. And that surprised me a little bit. And some of those numbers and metrics aren't perfect, but when the guy's giving you what he is at the plate, and he's no longer clearly a liability defensively, I'm enjoying the CJ Cron experience these days. Cheersing again. He's a fun guy to root for, isn't he?
We'll see what happens, you know, in these final 7 weeks, but I think it is gearing up for him to come back at first base. I mean, I know there's some other decent options there, but again, the devil you know versus the devil you don't. You know what CJ Cron brings, and again, there's a lot that we don't get to see behind closed doors. And as, you know, somewhat of a clubhouse leader, again, that could be another one of those indicators that, yeah, you know what? He's comfortable here. You know, it can be somewhat of a somewhat of a team-friendly deal, so to speak, where, again, both parties want to really get together. And there's already a familiarity there. Whereas if you go with a free agent first baseman, you know, how much is kicking tires? How much is playing hard to get? And you might not get it done. He could be a guy that comes off the board, you know, pretty quickly. We're seeing that much more common now. I don't even remember this happening before the last CBA where guys are saying, shoot, you know what? I'm going to get my money right now and kind of lock that deal in. So I would really hope the Rockies, you know, do that with any of their kind of impending free agent. I know Chris Owings is a guy that, you know, is more of an injury concern here or there, but he's played really well. When nice healthy, and I think he's been a very good utility player. But then again, you let the season play out, you still might be able to bring those guys back on another minor league deal, go the Mark Reynolds route. You can still have your cake and eat it too. So we'll see what happens. But Cron in 2022, I'm all for it.
I've become a fan of that idea very, very quickly, and it's a lot of fun to watch him play. So let's get into a little bit of the pitching. Of course, speaking of pitching, you know who pitches fantastic? No, I got nothing. They're just fantastic for the environment. It's a fantastic sales pitch to work at Ball Arena. Or not Ball Arena, Ball Factory. I mean, it'd be great to work at Ball Arena too. But I don't know how much they're hiring there. I do know they're hiring down at the Ball Factory. I know that Ball is fantastic because for years – I'd been getting their products and I hadn't complained about it a single time and even known it was them. It's kind of like when you're like an umpire, right? Or a referee, like when you don't notice that there's a problem with the product, that's when you know that it's fantastic. You're never right. Oh man, these cans, this glass, these jars is no good. No good. Had this stuff for years. Sustainable, fantastically made, quality materials, and they treat their people well. I know this from personal experience. People in my family have worked for Ball for decades. People, I've had friends that have worked down there. They're hiring right now at their plant in Golden. I could not recommend a place more highly for y'all to check out to work. If you want to be a part of, you know, work that you can be proud of, that you don't just go and go, oh, I don't care what's produced at the end of the day. Maybe whatever I'm doing is poisoning the environment or part of some horrible like machination of what. No, no, no. It's great. Working at Ball, making sustainable materials, taking care of the environment, working for people that take care of their employees, that are real big on diversity and inclusion. Off the charts ratings from all of these groups talking about, where's the, I always miss the name of the human rights group. There are a couple of them, and the environmental group. 100% ratings. 100% ratings.
That's unheard of in today's world where everyone is looking for that. Like there, you know, we know corporations can, you know, have questionable motives here and there, but they're always striving for that. And even the ones that have perfect motives can't hit that mark. And Ball is doing right. That. It's unbelievable.
It's the Human Rights Campaign Corporate Equality Index of 100%.
Perfect.
Absolutely wild. So check them out again. You can go to, you can text Golden to 77222. You'll get linked to open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com. Search for Golden. That's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or simply text Golden to 77222. All right, Patrick, as I was talking about, we're going to get into the pitching just a little bit here. Now, your boy and mine, really everyone's at this point, the Colorado Rockies' fifth rotation starter, Antonio Senzatella, goes 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, just the 2 strikeouts at Coors Field against the San Diego Padres. Of course, the 7 innings is the thing that really sticks out to you there. But he's got his season ERA plus back up over that 100 mark at 104. And there he is, just being so damn reliable.
Very consistent. Yeah, very consistent. I mean, you go back to his last 7 starts, his last 15 starts, his last 30 starts, it's all around the same thing. 410, yeah. 424, 458, yeah. Yeah. ERA. Yep. It's as consistent as you can get. And yeah, he'll have his moments where, all right, you want to have that one back and, you know, didn't have a great start, but just incredibly consistent. There's just such value in that, along with the upside, you know, that we have seen in spurts. And we kind of thought last year he unlocked that. And, you know, I don't know how much better he can get. I think he's still learning it. Again, he came up really young. He came up at 22 years old. So yeah. Some of these guys take a little bit longer to develop. I mean, look at what Jolys Chastain has been doing. And what he did, I should say, in the latter parts of his career after he left Colorado. And it seemed like, all right, you know, he's a free agent. He's doing his thing out there. And that's when he had some of his best years. So some of those guys take that long to actually develop. So seeing him do his thing, you know, has a lot of value. If they can't, you know, lock him up and give him an extension and they try to use him as a trade chip, there's a lot of people out there that would value his services and what he's able to do, again, especially being able to do it at Coors Field time and time again.
Yeah. I was thinking as I was watching that game to the last time we were talking about Senzatella, and if he does stay with the Rockies, just seeing a highlight right now, by the way, of the Connor Joe catch. Whew, boy, that was good. And I talked about liking him as a convert into the bullpen, and people in our comment section, you know, keeping me honest, talking about he doesn't strike out a lot of dudes. He can be sort of up and down in terms of his runs. Like you said, over 15 or 30 game sample size, it tends to balance out. But every once in a while, he's a bit more hittable. And then I watched the game last night, but this is what he stubbornly refuses to walk people. You have to earn it. against Antonio Senzatella. You just have to. And I think that's what intrigues me about him. And I also think his stuff could be maximized in the bullpen more than, say, a Rollison or a Peter Lambert. Senzatella's got a legitimate 98, 99 mile an hour fastball in there. He's got a legitimate wipeout breaking pitch that he just doesn't throw all the time because I don't think that he can. I'm starting to come to the conclusion that, like, his best breaking stuff isn't there all the time. And that aids to some of what we're talking about. But if you could air it out with him, I like that as a future role for him. If not, he's almost the perfect fifth starter. Leave him where he is. But you're right. There's, like, whether it's with the Rockies or whomever else, Antonio Senzatella, who was never, ever a consideration for a top 100 prospect or any of those types of things. A guy who was a flyer from the day the Rockies picked him up to the day he made his debut till now, I think is carved out. He's going to have a very, very nice major league career when I look back on it.
You know, he's making $3 million in arbitration this year. So it's two more years where he's arbitration eligible. So, you know, I don't know necessarily what he could max out to. Maybe $8 million. That's just a general guess. And you go, well, would Colorado pay $8 million to a closer if they do that? And I think that's probably on the – we know what they paid Wade Davis and
a couple guys in the bullpen.
Just
to
set up.
You know this guy. At least you know his mental makeup.
Right. And I just think that that number, while it is high, it's still within the spectrum of a possibility. I wouldn't totally throw that out. Again, you're looking, you know, there's other players and other figures that you would look at and just say, no, it's too much of a risk. And again, you would have to get, as you mentioned, you would have to get Lambert, Rollison, Carl Kaufman, whoever, to really push up against Senzatella to make the Rockies go, you know what, you're better served closing out games and doing that. And I don't know that can happen next year. Like, is there enough depth right now in the system that, because I would think you'd want Senzatella coming to camp
next year. Yeah,
I would think you'd want him knowing when he comes to camp what was going on. But here, like, bottom line is, look, he's great as any team's number five. He's excellent as the Rockies, well, number four, number five still. So you can't get upset at that consistency. You really can't with a team that and a franchise that hasn't had too many guys be that consistent.
No.
Maybe be that consistent, but closer to a five ERA than the low fours, right?
Sure. And to do it in his spot in the rotation, I've been very impressed with the young career. Not quite as young as it used to be, but still of Antonio Senzatella. All right, Jacob. You know, we love you with Super Chats, setting the standard out there. Don't forget that if you're joining us on the YouTubes live, you can get in with these Super Chats. You can make sure that we answer your question for sure. He wants to know. I love this. He keeps throwing guys at us for the Hall of Fame. I pulled up the baseball reference page for Mark Burley. Mark Burley, he wants to know, Hall of Famer with the Super Chat question. And this one's interesting. Just looking at it. Again, I'm going to lean because he asked us about Roger Maris the other day toward probably not. But there are some interesting caveats to this. You know, his career WAR is actually very impressive at 60 over 16 seasons. That actually does put him in the conversation of other players. You know, you start getting into the 60s, that's – you start being in Hall of Fame territory there. He's never led the league in any categories other than hits that he's given up and innings that he's pitched.
And what comes along with that, batter's face. But that
batter's face, right.
You're not bragging about that.
One thing that anyone who watched him does know, and I have no idea what to do with this for a Hall of Fame case for a pitcher, he was a phenomenal defender. He fielded his position off the mound as well as anybody in his generation. And he's got several gold gloves in his closet to show for that. But a career ERA plus of 117, you know, raw ERA 381, 16 years. You know, he pitched some in the postseason, was decent. But I think he's another one of those guys of in the hall of man, that guy was pretty damn good. Don't you remember him? He was good, man. Guy was good. Great ball player, Mark Burley. I always loved watching him play, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
He was definitely at the top of my list of guys that I enjoyed watching, and even drove 3.5 hours to watch him pitch against the Orioles when he was with the White Sox. And he had a streak of, I think, something like 63 straight quality starts. And I'm sure I was probably the only one that cared about that record or that number.
What a cool ass thing.
And AJ Pierzynski. Yeah. AJ Pierzynski got plunked at some point in the game. Mark Burley threw inside in a guy and got ejected in the sixth inning. So he only was able to pitch 5 and change. So it snapped the streak because he got ejected. And that's not why the day is memorable. It's because that was the day it was announced that Rafael Palmeiro had tested positive for performance enhancing drugs. We all thought, why isn't he in the lineup today? That's strange. But I remember it still more for Mark Burley. You know, I did vote for him in our fun little Saber ballot the third Wednesday of every month. Go down to Blake Street Tavern at about noon. A bunch of old guys and a couple of young guys just talking baseball. It's fun. You can join us. It's free. You know, it's just a fun little luncheon. And we did one of those ballots. And I actually did vote yes for Mark Burley. I don't think he's a first ballot guy. First ballot for the Hall of Really Good. But I think he very much had an underrated career. And I think when you kind of go back and look at some of the pitchers of his time, he was towards the top. Very, you know, similar career to almost like a Burt Blyleven. Of course, didn't get the 3,000 strikeouts, you know, so he didn't compile. But, you know, won a World Series in 2005 with the White Sox, that staff that just absolutely shut down throughout the playoffs, you know, was a 5-time All-Star and did it 12 years apart as a 23-year-old and as a 35-year-old, as you said, defensively, did win 4 gold gloves, led the league a couple times in innings pitched. In fact, had over 200 innings pitched in 14 of his 15 full seasons. His last season, he missed it by 4 outs, and he would have had basically every season, all full 15 full seasons, over 200 innings pitched. So Mark Burley is kind of the super Senzatella in a lot of ways in what he was able to do. So I would actually say yes to him.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to look a little deeper at the innings pitch stuff because, again, I was just kind of – I'm looking at ERA, ERA plus, and I'm going these –
He's not a slam dunk. He's definitely not a slam dunk.
But that's how you get the – you accumulate the 60 WARs by pitching so many innings, and that is valuable. So it's worth looking at. All right, let's do a little bit of looking ahead. And, you know, looking ahead is always brought to you by our friend at DraftKings Sportsbook. When you like to know what's going to happen the next day – I was on DNVR Bets, by the way, today. I'm going to be on DNVR Bets again on Thursday. So hopefully I did okay with some of my predictions out there. I know RK has been on a heater, and I was sitting in his seat, so I had it on me. We'll see what's going on, but we're going to look ahead with our DraftKings Sportsbook app. Friends, you got all kinds of great bets you can make on there in baseball, overs and unders on runs scored, strikeouts, who's going to get a hit, who's going to get a home run, who's going to win the ball game, all that kind of stuff. And right now, you can basically get free $200 and just throwing some bets down on any college football action right now. You think Bama's going to win it all? You think Clemson's going to win it all? Go and bet right now $1 on that, and boom, you've got $200 automatically in your DraftKings Sportsbook app account to bet on whatever you want. So again, download that top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use that promo code DMVR, and that's what you'll receive, $200 free in bets when you place $1 bet on any college football game. That's promo code DNVR to get your free $200 in free bets instantly. It does say free in there twice. I didn't read that. It does say that. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
My DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week is a Mr. Charlie Blackmon to homer tonight. Yes, we've got a left-hander on the hill and Matt Strom. But
he's been left on left good.
Charlie's been very good. He does have a homer against him already back in 2019. I think that came during that wacky series in June against the Padres. So look for Charlie. As you said, he's got the stroke. He's been hitting a lot better. He only has 8 home runs this season. It's crazy to think that it's his lowest total since 2013 when he had only 6.
He's about 11 or 12 away from moving up the charts on the Rockies. Like he'll be second or third Rockies all time once he gets to – it was 22 coming into the season. You do the math. I'm not, yeah, I like that. Charlie to get one off of Matt Strom. So my mother here in the – and you're not the only one, Mom. Not entirely sure who's pitching for the San Diego Padres these days. And it was a little different for Austin Gomber as well, who went on paternity leave. So congratulations to the Goms for the newest Gomber. Yes, it'll be Chichi Gonzalez versus Jake Arrieta for the wrap-up. Tonight we've got Marquez versus Matt Strom. The San Diego Padres are just grabbing dudes. Throwing them out there right now. Patrick, what do you think of these next two? And, of course, the Padres signing Jake Arrieta, of all people, to make his next first start for them back at Coors Field. Jake, congratulations on the new contract.
Let's see what you've got left. If there's anything in the tank, I think being a part of the Padres has to, you know, provide a little electricity. Yeah, that's probably the way to go there. So we'll see what happens, but you know, it wouldn't shock me anymore now for the Rockies to maybe even sweep this one. You gotta love, you know, Marquez on the hill, who, you know, at least his last two starts this season against San Diego in a pretty, you know, close time span. It was about 3 weeks apart, but both in San Diego pitched really well against them, was able to earn the win, or the Rockies won those games. So I think, you know, another over, it doesn't pay out as much. The Charlie Blackman hitting homers plus 400. So I want to have the big bucks there, but plus 130 is over 5.5 strikeouts. And his last 5 starts against the Padres dating back to 2019, he has 7 or more. So I think that's just as good as a bet. It's only plus 130, but you want to parlay it, then win.
He likes pitching against these guys too. Marquez, when he sees Machado and Tatis Jr. and those guys on, he goes, "Yeah, I'm gonna get them."
And they don't have you know terribly great numbers against them. I mean, Cronenworth is a guy that's really starting to do some things, but for the most part, in 10
at bats, he's becoming one of those dudes, man. Though he's an all star, so he's not like a Will Myers or Corkys Hernandez, but he is very quickly becoming one of those, like, not this guy again.
Tatis, 1-for-10 against Herman Marquez. Not very favorable. Manny Machado, 7-for-19. So he's batting .368. One double. That's it. No triples, no homers, 2 RBI against them. But he's also struck out 5 times against Marquez. So, you know, maybe to a lesser extent, Marquez, I wouldn't say owns Machado, but he does well against these guys. So you got to like them winning today, and then, as we said, tomorrow with Chichi and Jake Arrieta, we could be looking at a sweep here.
We really could be. I'll go ahead and predict the Rockies series win, but you're right. I mean, if you take it on that, you never know. Bullpens get involved, but I see Chichi handling that game a lot better than Arrieta. And Marquez versus Matt Strom really just isn't even close in terms of a pitching matchup. That's a slam dunk in favor of the Rockies, which is super bizarre. Here you have this team. They could have won the NL West this year. It's been in postseason position essentially wire to wire. I don't know that at any point this year the Padres have been out of postseason position. By the end of this set, if the Reds take care of business. Now, I saw the Cubs went up on them early. Let me see what it is now. Just as we're recording, the Cubs are holding a 1-0 lead over the Cincinnati Reds. But I think by the end of this series, the Reds could hold a wild card spot and the Padres not.
Yeah, there's still a lot to play for in these games. We know there's a lot of guys on the Rockies right now. They're playing for a spot next year. You know, they're trying to just hold on to a roster spot because there's a lot of players that need to be protected ahead of the Rule 5 draft. So there's that going on. They're also playing for the opportunity to maybe play somewhere else, like hey, man, this outfield is somewhat loaded when everyone's healthy. So is somebody going to end up moving? You know what? You go out there and you play, and the powers that be make those decisions. You just don't have control over it. So there's still a lot to play for each guy individually. And so that's just one reason why you really can't count this team out. And you never will. You know, I don't think you can count out any team. There are times, I think, when, you know, you have some squads that look a bit listless. Yeah, you're just completely listless, or you maybe have some older guys just playing out the string. And again, you don't have that influx of talent in September to wake some guys up. But that's not really the case here with Colorado. So these games are still pretty important, exciting. And is it crazy to think they could go 6-0? I don't know that there's any hype now. Can we say – we should say that. There shouldn't be any hype around the Rockies. There should be excitement around them being at home. But that's not hype.
Right. Because they're not going to the postseason this year and all of that. So they're not even, you know, getting back to 500 or any of that stuff. But I was talking with our the GM down here at the DNVR bar, Darren, fantastic, runs the place. And he was talking about it, man. He was going, I didn't realize – you know, how extreme the split had been. I just knew that every time I went to the ball game down here, they ended up winning. And I always have a fun time going out to Coors Field and throwing back some Breck Brews and watching the ball club play. And they've really been a fun team all year, despite the times they've been right near the bottom or whatever it is, the really tough stretches they've had. And this is kind of a perfect example of it. The fact that we're sitting here and saying reasonably they could to sweep this out. And look ahead at the schedule too, by the way. If you do like playing spoiler, the teams that are going to have to come here, San Francisco's got to come to Coors Field twice in their pursuit of the NL West crown.
Yes, two more times. That's right.
Do the Phillies come to town or do the Rockies? I think, no, the Rockies go. They've got an East Coast trip.
But so Atlanta's got four games.
Right.
And we know the Rockies have been playing those four-game series better and better and better every time.
So imagine you're San Francisco or Atlanta and you're trying to win your division or you're trying to grab that last wild card spot. And then you see that 3 or 4 game set on your schedule going into Colorado. And the Rockies aren't just, hey, they're better at home than they are out on the road. No. Since the end of May, the Colorado Rockies are the best team in baseball by an overwhelming margin at home. I think they've lost 10 baseball games at home since the end of May. And most of those are the Dodgers. So if you're not the Dodgers, good luck coming to Coors Field. Like, it's – yeah. So we'll see. I'm with you. Until they lose one at home, we'll keep watching them. You keep hanging out with us here at the DNVR Rockies podcast live shows. Make sure you're on the YouTube. Make sure you're clicking that thumbs up button, giving us the like, hitting the bell icon to let you know when we're going live, all that good stuff. Subscribing to the DNVR.com so you get all the written content, all the discounts on hats and shirts, the bigger beer. You come down to the DNVR bar, the access to the Discord channel, the free shirt on the annual, all the stuff you get by subscribing to the DNVR.com. Of course, you know, we'll be watching the games for the rest of the week. It always is entertaining when they're at home. Really going to be fun. We'll keep breaking it all down for you on these lives. We appreciate you all. Make sure you're following on social media, all that stuff. You know it, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Drew Kreisman, at DNVR_Rockies. And just keep being absolutely awesome out there. We'll keep being absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we'll see you at the ballpark.